Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, we're sitting here in the middle of the COVID virus calamity going on, and we're sitting around home wondering what the heck are we going to do if we don't have a job anymore. And we're all worried about all the different things that are going on. So we're pretty much all in the same boat right now. So I'd like to take a little time off and just share a story with you. The individual we're having on today is what we call a super passive. And by that, we mean that they've got involved with the program and then went out and purchased ownership in different deals as the passive part of the deal, as opposed to the syndicator slash what I call the lead investor of the deal. This gentleman currently has 53 apartment complexes, had 55. He already sold two since he's been here, and 11,135 units. Now, this is spread out over 30 different lead investors. So this is one of the most unique situations. Up there, he's got to be one of the top 10 or 20 investors as far as passive investors in our group. So I'm really excited to share his story with him today, Mr. Bill Fravel. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del, and I do appreciate you having me on the show.
So down in Florida still?
Yes, sir. Down here, you know, the good news about this whole thing is the weather's been fantastic in Florida. I know it hadn't been for a lot of people around. So I've been able to get outside and take advantage of that. I can say that I do miss working, believe it or not. I am an orthodontist and still practice part-time, but haven't been able to go to the office for a while. We can only see emergencies at this point.
Is there any way for you guys to do any kind of teleconferencing with your patients? I know I've already had two teleconferences with doctors myself so far. How about you?
Yes. In fact, we are getting better and better at that. We've actually even seen a few new patients teleconferencing. We can't really see too well about what's going on there, but at least we can start to screen them, which I think is a good thing. So that when we finally do open up, we'll have people ready to go.
I think the silver lining out of all of this, if there is one, Bill, is that we've had to learn to conduct our business 100% online. And as you look at it, and I think many other businesses are asking the same question, do I go back? Do I go 100% back? And I know my answer for my business is no. I mean, all the apartment complexes are already changed prior to this to where we had online leasability. I mean, you could go there and you could get pictures and you could get data. You could fill out an application. You could virtually lease without even coming to the property. I think now if you don't have that, you're, well, obviously because of the virus situation, in this situation, you can't survive without that. But I don't think when you see people get used to buying products online, I don't think they're going to want to go back to getting in their car and driving down there and shopping and, you know, getting toured and then getting pressured to sell you something and go to the next place and same thing over and over again. I think that that's going to be the thing of the history. And the same thing with doctors. I mean, you know, you guys line up, you know, 8-10 appointments in a row where you just, your whole day you're stuck in the unit. I bet you could probably teleconference, you know, 75% of that, 50% of that, right, and save a lot of time and get people that are convalescent to the doctor that couldn't naturally get in there. So I think we're going to see some changes. What about you and your profession?
I totally agree. It seems like we have conferences two or three times a week that I watch to because it's moving very fast now as far as how we will start treating patients. In fact, when we go back, we're hoping that Governor DeSantis lets us start in May. I know Texas, I think they're trying to open Texas up a little bit as well. But in doing that, I know already that we'll have to see much fewer patients. In our office, we're used to seeing 80 to 100 patients a day. And 6 feet apart, that's just not possible. So a lot of the, in fact, I'm sure you're familiar with the product called Invisalign. A lot of these Invisalign patients, we will be able to do teleconferencing with them and just hand them their new aligners when they come in and not really have to see them as much. And then there's other certain patients we can see teleconference-wise that we don't have to see them in the office. So this is really opening up a new world. And hopefully not, it may get rid of my job then, who knows?
Well, I think that in most of these situations, it doesn't get rid of your job, it just changes the way you perform your job. And technology has done that forever and ever and ever. I mean, I knew a guy, and I'm saying this with tongue in cheek, I knew a guy who used to make saddles for a living, and then someone designed a car. He changed from making saddles to making seats, right? You know,
That's right. You
just got to move on with technology.
So, oh, there's no doubt. The world is going to change. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. So as we sit here and we look at this right now, you're lucky enough to have two forms of income. You've got passive income and you've got earned actual W-2 income still. Does the wife work at all?
She does. Actually, I'll go into my story just a bit. Me being an orthodontist, I sold my practice thanks to Lifestyles. It's been 2 years, 2018, and I've been hired back as an independent contractor. That's one of the reasons I'm not working right now. But my wife, since she managed the office all the years that we worked, she stayed on kind of as a consultant and still pretty much running the office. So she's still working full time. However, it's been up here in her office for the last few weeks.
Obviously. Well, that's interesting because I don't know about her part because she's still kind of tied down. But for your part, from the very beginning when I first started Lifestyles, the first three people I partnered with in deals were doctors of different types. Actually, one was a dentist and two others were doctors. And the reality was that they were in the same boat you were. And the plan was, Bill, let's create enough passive income that they can rearrange their practice. And what I mean by that was we sat down and we had this discussion of, you know, what percentage of what you do actually earns you money? And like I was talking to Dennis, and exams don't make them money, and cleanings don't make them money, and blah, 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 blah. It's just oral surgery. There's where the money is, right? So I said, why don't you just hire another dentist and or assistants and whatever you need and have them do all that stuff Monday through Friday, and you show up. You know, whether it's Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, or if it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever fits the dentistry practice, and cut it back to 3 days. Let's start with that before, you know, I'll get you this passive income, but let's cut it back to 3 days, and then maybe two, and then maybe one, and so on and so forth. And that's how I walked three different doctors out of their jobs. But the common thing was they still loved their practice. They loved practicing medicine, put it that way. But they didn't like the fact that they were on call all the time. They didn't like the fact that they had to work, you know, five straight days in a row, sometimes longer hours. And the worst part, love your wife, they hated managing the practice. That was the worst part. So hopefully you did the same thing. Huh? You walked away from it a little bit after you sold it and came back?
Yes. I was, I'm still on to work. The way I worked, it was 3 days the first year, 2 days the second year, 1 day the next year, and then we'll see from there. Because, I still, just like you said, those other doctors, I do love what I'm doing and enjoy it and really miss it right now since I haven't been doing it for a few weeks. But just don't want to do it as much because I don't need to.
You know, it's funny in life, this is true in a lot of different things, that when it's your vocation, it's not as much fun as it's your advocation. And when you don't have to get up every day and do it, it can turn around to be, you know, your hobby even. You know, it's a different thing. It's your,
oh, absolutely.
What you like to do. So let's talk about your story, okay? Bring us back. Take us. Where do you want to start your story at? Where do you think it's relevant to start your story at before they understand who you are and how you and why you transitioned?
Well, I think I've always thought a little bit out of the box because I never could, you know, we had a great life.
I'll tell you what, hold on. We shouldn't start this at just 20 seconds left of the segment.
Okay.
Bad move on my part. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Bill Frevel and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for 29 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they have won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 12 of the last 12 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Bill Frevel. He is a super passive here at Lifestyles Unlimited. And as we went to break, we're just getting ready to share his story. A little background, if you're just tuning in, Bill has 11,135 units spread out over 53 different apartment complexes and operated by 30 different lead investors. So that's quite a portfolio. As we started here at the end of the break, Bill, pick it back up as to where you think the story is relevant, that it started to get to you. You need to look for something else.
Yeah, I think really it all began, I think it was kind of bred in me, because my dad, he worked at the Louisville Gas and Electric Company for 45 years, retired, had a pension, but he knew probably 10, 15 years before that, that would be enough money to live off of. So he'd actually bought some old houses in downtown Louisville and converted them. These were these large houses into fourplexes. And he had three or four of them, and he was able to supplement his income that way. And I saw that. In fact, I'd go over and watch him do these rehabs and so forth. And I think it was always ingrained in me a little bit. So as I got older and went to school, graduated orthodontics and finally moved to Florida, always started thinking, you know, there's got to be more than this, because everybody you hear about wants you to invest in the stock market. You try to get a big ball of money, and then you retire and you live off of the rest of your life. That just didn't seem to do it for me. So along came our last Black Swan event, which was back in the 2007-2008 with the recession that we had. And I was lucky enough to hook up with a real estate broker. Unfortunately for him, he didn't have any money, but he knew I had a little bit of money. And we ended up buying between 2010 and 2012. We bought 9 single-family homes, or I bought them, I should say. He helped me find them and so forth. And I went through all that. I definitely had no training on best product, best price. He was more of the kind of guy that would, let's just do what we need to do to get a renter in there and go from there. There was no education for me as far as that goes, other than seeing real estate and making decisions. He also managed them for me, and so they, of course, appreciated quite a bit. And this is something I think we'll be able to look at after this thing goes through, this COVID-19. But anyway, that was my start. And during this time, I'm reading Robert Kiyosaki, and he had some programs I did, but never really did it for me. And then one day back in 2015 or so, I'm listening to Ray Lucia on the radio, and his program's been canceled. And who comes on? Del Walmsley. And I just couldn't imagine, who's this guy? Never heard of him. And you being in Texas, me being in Florida, and started listening to you. And next thing I did was you even at that time offered the 2-day online. So ended up doing the 2-day online. And after I learned that I could actually be a participant and owner of apartment complexes, wow, that blew me away. I couldn't believe it, because I thought only big corporations could own multifamily apartment complexes. And so got in, and the rest is pretty much history.
Well, it's pretty good history as far as what it looks like here, as far as the volume of business you've done. So I'm going to cover a couple different things here. One of them is going to be your plan or your system. After you came out of the 2-day, you realized that you had this ability, a possibility or option to get into these syndicated deals. Tell us what your plan was at that time. How did you see it? In other words, was it just get into anything I could get into, or was it systemized? In other words, I'm going to get into this type of deal. I'm looking for this type of lead. I want this location. How did you see this thing when you first came out of the 2-day?
Right. When it started, when I took the 2-day and then joined the preferred investor group, which we call the PIG membership, then I started contacting some leads, talking with them, and I wanted to go with somebody that had a lot of experience, because here I'm a guy in Florida, and I'm thinking about buying an apartment complex in Texas. That's pretty amazing, and honestly, I would never have done that if I hadn't done these houses, because it just, I don't know, it kind of molded me. So I wanted to do the first few with leads that had a lot of experience, and that's exactly what I did. And probably until I got maybe 10 or so deals done, then I started listening to first-time leads, listening to their story, trying to learn about them and their personalities and so forth. Then I started venturing out a little bit more into first-time leads a little bit, but really kind of I stick with my experienced leads pretty much, because I really trust them to do these deals with.
So your resume says that you started out with primarily yield play deals that had a little bit of upside potential on them, and you were calling them, as we do here, hybrids. That was your initial bread and butter as you came out of the blocks. What else were you looking for? Did you put more significance on who the lead was, or what the deal was, or where the deal was?
What I was looking for in the beginning was the lead. That was the most important thing for me, the jockey that was going to run this, and his history. I was also looking to replace my income, so I was more interested in a yield play for the income, so I could start getting my income up, my passive income, that is. So that's how it started out. And really, as the time went on from 2015, when I bought the first one, the deals, the cap rates became more compressed, and there weren't too many value plays out there.
Yeah, you did. You came in after the big killing had happened. You got in for single family during the big killing time.
Right.
And so this COVID virus situation might end up being a whole second life for you in this business, right? I mean, if you can start finding value plays again?
Oh, absolutely. I just think back about back then, I would have bought more single-family homes if I could have. And now with this next black swan here upon us, I think people who have education in real estate and people who have a little money, they can go a long way.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So we like the jockey better than the horse. Let's see, we've only got 20 seconds left here, so I'm going to go ahead and take us to break and come back and talk more about location and how you pick the locations of the deals, because obviously you've diversified if you've got 30 different leads. We're going to be right back with Bill Fravel and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. 29 years ago, Dell Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Dell has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Walmsley.
With me here today is Bill Fravel out of Orlando, Florida, and Bill is what we call a super passive. Why do we call him that? He's got 11,135 units. Spread out over 53 apartment complexes and spread out over 30 different lead investors. So that is a super passive for you. As we went to break, Bill, we were talking about when did you decide to diversify as far as location, or did you? Is that just a matter of fact? And the reason I ask that is because when I started traveling around the country, they said, Dell, you got to get out and go around the country. And the reason we did was because we had members joining from all over the country. And all we had was office locations in Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin. And yet we had people from the East Coast and the West Coast flying in, joining, taking the 2-day and so forth. And finally, we had so many people, they said, Doug, you got to get out and start getting around the country and meeting these people and promoting. And I wanted a tagline because we really had changed our whole model. And I came up with the tagline, live where you want and invest where you want. And the reason I came up with that was because I had people that, get this, that lived in Houston, made millions in Houston because Houston is a money machine town, and then moved to Florida. And I mean, not one, not two, five or six people, the same thing. They wanted to live on the Keys. They wanted to live in Tampa. They wanted to live in Miami. You know, and they just kept leaving Texas. But after they were rich. We got one guy that came from New York City, moved here, Lee, came here, moved here, got rich, and then moved back to where his family is in Tennessee or something like that. I mean, it really is, once you understand this business, the possibility to live where you want and invest where you need to. How did you decide to spread it out?
You know, that's very true, Dell. You can pretty much live wherever you want and invest where you want. I think, you know, what's unique about my story is when I joined was just about the time you started looking into going nationwide. And so some of these leads I followed, and, for instance, the one in Atlanta, followed him there. He went there not thinking he was going to be a lead immediately, ended up being one. And I was ready to join in with him. And I bought a few with him, and now he's actually gone to Tennessee, and also he's down in Alabama, just bought a complex down there that I'm in with him. And then, of course, Florida. I live here. I'd love to invest here. The real estate's pretty expensive here. So I did join up with one up in Jacksonville and look forward to doing more with him. And then as far as Arizona, same kind of thing. I was talking with one of the leads that I was very impressed with. He ended up going to Phoenix, purchasing an apartment complex there, and I was with him when we did it. So I was in there with him, too. And then I did join with somebody in Oklahoma. I thought that, well, it's close to Texas. Looked pretty good. Looked like a pretty good deal. And I thought I'd take a chance with that one. So, yeah, I think I've just kind of metamorphosed, as you did too, going around the country and then looking at different cities and growth and things like that.
Now, as I hear your story, I'm just, it came to me, I wanted to ask you a question that I don't have an answer to, which is a pretty risky thing to do on the radio.
Wow.
You know, if I don't have an answer, see what you're going to say. But I felt a twinge of a little camaraderie ship between you and the Leeds. Is there a relationship building process there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We get to know these Leeds not only personally in person, but also through their reports they send out on the apartments at least every quarter. Some of them do them monthly. So you get to know these Leeds very well. So, yes, definitely.
Okay. That's another thing. Were you surprised as a business person, not as a doctor, but as a business person? Because as a doctor, you probably are pretty in touch with your people. But as a business person, were you surprised how open everybody was at LifeSales about their finances?
Dell, it's unbelievable. When I go to an orthodontic meeting, nobody says a word about what they do, as far as their numbers, how many patients they started, what their gross income was. Nobody talks at all about that. That's how I've lived my whole life. So one of the first things I noticed is when I started talking with people from LifeSales, how open they were about everything. It's just unbelievable. It's like an open book. And that's how I think they learn so much, and it works so well that way.
You know, it's weird. I'm thinking about it. It's almost counterintuitive that people almost get upset if you're not an open and friendly person at LifeSales. And there's no rule that you have to be, right? But it's kind of a cultural thing, I think, that, you know, most people feel like, if I'm going to share mine, you know, so you share yours, so we all can get better at what we do.
Absolutely. At networking, that's for sure. And it's a big mastermind group is what it is.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, too. I've found this to be true, although I've just recently became a passive myself last year. I started buying. I did like 5 deals last year because I was in between buying for myself and getting married and going to the hospital. And I just, okay, let's just buy something with somebody else for a while. And what I found to be true is that I started out just by myself knowing people that had a great reputation. You know, you hear the stories, you hear of them, you do the case studies with them, you hear them on the radio. And I said, okay, I like that guy. And I totally picked the people. The deals didn't mean anything to me because I know that if you get the right guy, they can fix anything. And if you get the wrong person, they could screw up a wet dream. It's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And so I picked 5 guys right out of the blocks that I really felt comfortable with. But what I realized was, in no time at all, passives are talking to passives. And I was walking around becoming one. I'm like, yeah, I'm in with that guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do that deal? Yeah, he's a good guy. And they're like sharing information. It's almost like there's a behind-the-scenes mafia of passive investors. Have you felt that way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll have people text me, have you heard about this deal? What do you think about that lead? And all the time. So it's amazing. But everything is so open. And, you know, one thing we haven't brought up but I want to mention is the white paper, which was really made for passive investors like myself, somebody that's not living and can go in the area where a deal might be. And we can trust that with the rules in the white paper, we have a pretty good idea that it's going to go through because there are rules. And one of the rules that's not in the white paper is to be open with everybody. So
yeah,
that's
funny. I remember when I wrote my first partnership class, I was talking to Lynn about it yesterday because we were trying to find it and see if we could find it. The class was called Partnerships because we didn't literally do syndications when I first started here. We just did partnerships. Like you and I would get together and do something, and me and another doctor would do something, right? And there were really more partnerships than syndications. We didn't raise capital from anybody. But when I wrote the class, it was called Partnerships. It says, first line, big, bold letters. Partnerships suck. Now, here's 15 hours of seminar on how to fix that. And really, what that 15 hours of seminar was the white paper, believe it or not. It was me saying, look, here's all the stuff somebody can mess up on you. And it needs to be done this way, not that way. So I'm glad that you recognize that the white paper was in protection for the passes. Interesting point, though. Because the fact everybody has to follow the rules, so they don't have to. I mean, they can leave, but if they're going to stay, they're going to follow the rules. It gave everybody a ability to compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges. But even more important than that, if someone does something that works and we all copy what works, we all become successful. So as I'm getting to the end of this big point I'm making and I'm drawing on is that we've won the National Apartment Association's Real Estate Investor of the Year Award 13 years in a row. Somebody, one member or another, has won it each year for 13 years. And you think about that, that's a part of the outcome of the white paper also. That's everybody copying everybody else and doing it almost exactly the same. And that, as a passive investor, can give you, and I don't want to ask it as a question because it's a rhetorical question, but I would think it is the basis, like you're saying, for a security, you know?
Absolutely.
That you know that this is the way the animal's supposed to be fed, right? And so on and so forth.
And, you know, I wanted to mention, too, when you were asking me back about how did I decide who I was going to go with in the beginning, I failed to mention that all those first guys I went with also were the award winners.
Ah, smart man. I think that's going to take us to break, Bill. That was a wise, wise statement right there.
Perfect.
We'll take a short break. Be right back with Bill Fravel and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Bill Fravel, and he's out of Orlando, Florida. He's a super passive, and that is not a small thing. He owns 11,135 units spread out over 53 apartment complexes and 30 different lead investors, or as the street would know them to be called, syndicators. A lot of investment, a lot of deals, and hopefully a lot of money. So, Bill, let's talk about the money part of it for a second, both the pros and the cons, because I want everybody to hear clear indications of what the reality is in this world. And that is, as you start buying into these deals, each and every deal has a life cycle of itself, meaning this guy says, I'm going to do 3 months worth of startup on this project, and we're not going to pay any dividends till then. Other one's going to make it 6 months before we're going to be stabilized enough that I want to pay dividends, et cetera. And then just at the time when some of them start to really start paying out, somebody says, okay, our model is we're at the end of our loan. We're going to sell and get out of here and take our profits and run. So you've got this fluxation going on all the time. And I hope fluxation's a word. I don't even know if it's fluctuation. Sorry, there we go. Put a U in there, it becomes a word. So you got this fluctuation going on all the time in your cash flow stream. Tell people your vision of that and how you rationalize that if you work with it.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to diversify so much, because I knew that one deal might not pay for a period of time, and then, you know, one might refinance. And so there's a lot of things going on all the time with these. So my reasoning was that by doing a certain number, that hopefully I could get a pretty much steady stream of income coming in quarterly when these dividends are normally paid. Now, we have to remember that at this point, all those are being held back because all the leads need their cash reserves for anything that might come up, and I totally understand that. I think it would be reckless if they didn't.
Let me go ahead and define that a little bit better and hold your point. Try to keep your point in your mind while I do this. For people out there that don't understand this, because here it is. I own apartment complexes. Bill owns apartment complexes. All of us own apartment complexes. Some of them, we've gotten to the point where we're paying profits out every quarter. Others have been paying profits out for a long time. But one thing holds true. As of COVID virus environment in March of this year, the government came in and said, hey, you guys can't evict tenants anymore, not for 120 days. So for a three-month period of time, four-month period of time, whatever that comes out to be, until the end of May, we didn't have the right to do the business practice that keeps us afloat, which is when somebody doesn't pay, we evict them. It's just the natural process that we go through. It's not mean, it's not terrible, it's not this, it's not that. But what the government is saying is because we're forcing everybody out of business, it's not these people's fault they can't pay. So it's not our fault that we don't have income coming in either. So what I did was I put out a notice at the very beginning of this to all the leads, and I said, look, all you guys that are profitable, great, I love it, but please don't send off your first quarter distribution. Because I've lived through this three times. This is my third recession, depression, whatever you call it. And I know the one key is cash flow. And so I asked them not to send the distribution off for the first quarter. Wait to the second quarter once we're past this period of time where the government is messing with us and messing with our ability to perform our operational business, messing with people being out of business, out of work on purpose, etc. Wait till the unemployment kicks back in. Wait till the stimulus kicks back in. And then you can reevaluate, okay, did we lose any money? Do we still have that profit to pay out or not? And that came from the top down, Bill, just so I'm going to protect all the leads out there right now that they're not making the decision. Now, by the way, they had to make their own decision because I don't have any control over the deals anyway. This is the bully pulpit saying, hey, I've been doing this for 30 years. This is a time to conserve cash. So that's what Bill's talking about, and I'm going to let him pick that back up from right there. But I want you to remember one thing, Bill. If you talk to any of the other passes, remember the Del Walmsley saying that goes like this. I stole it from Roy Rogers, so it's not really my saying. But it goes something like this. I'm sorry, not Roy Rogers. Will Rogers, excuse me. And Will Rogers says, don't talk to me about the return on my investment until you talk to me about the return of my investment. So as a passive investor, are you happy that we're trying to protect your investment more than we're trying to get you a dividend check this quarter?
Absolutely. I think it's very prudent because now's the time when you have to have that war chest available. Because you do not want to lose your investment, that's for sure. So we want to hold that value there, and I think it was the right thing to do, without any doubt.
The deals I'm in, every one of them, the leads told me they had anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 cash in the bank. And so they said that they didn't, and they would hold the distribution, right? So they seemed like they thought that was really a solid position. I said, no, you don't really realize this. If you're collecting $100,000 to $200,000 a month per apartment complex, and that money's not there, that $500,000 doesn't last very long. That's about a 2 months and you're out of business kind of effect. So, yeah, it's something that you got to really stay on top of in a recessional situation like that. But I think that you look at it from the point of view that you'd rather have your never lose your principal is the key factor. Rule one, don't lose money. And not getting a distribution is not losing money. It's just not getting paid a distribution, which is different. Go ahead and pick it back up from there. How do you see all that, and what do you think the other passives are thinking at this point on that?
Well, I hope they understand what's going on, because just like any type business, you would need to have cash reserves available at this point for anything that might come up. I think that's one of the reasons that the government's trying to help out small businesses with a PPP loan, to try to instill some cash in there so they can keep their employees for those that need that. So, no, I think it's a fantastic idea, and I hope all the other passes. I haven't heard one say, oh, my gosh, I need my money. So,
well, Bill, I appreciate you coming on today, coming to the end of the show. So thank you for coming on and sharing your time. And hopefully the next conversation will be about all those extra dividends that get paid back. For the rest of you, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
The Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.